See, I'm happier already now that the show... Hey, welcome, America! Good evening, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty once again, being the media here on the Mike Malloy Show. That's right, you got us live from Los Angeles all week long as it's summer vacation for the Malloys, a much-deserved summer vacation. Depending on how things go over the next few hours and days, I may go off and join them. It's been just that kind of a summer already. Anyway, we're broadcasting live this week from the beautiful studios in downtown Burbank, out here in Los Angeles, of KTalk AM 1150. Glad you could join us. Hope you will stay with us. Got a big show for you today coming up. Well, tonight, let's see, what do I have in former Alabama's former governor, Don Siegelman, is going to be joining us. His case, if you're not familiar with it, will blow your mind. It's also has a bit of new news this week, or actually last week, as the Supreme Court, as one of the final things it did before it scrammed for the summer, vacated his conviction and remanded the case back to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. We're going to ask former Governor Don Siegelman what exactly that means, and oh, will we ever get Karl Rove into jail where he belongs instead of Don Siegelman. Well, we're also going to be going live to the Gulf here very, very shortly with Mother Jones's Mac McClellan. She's been down there for the last couple of months covering this disaster in the Gulf that continues, shows no signs of abating. You know, last time I was on the air, I was actually broadcasting from up at Green 960 up in San Francisco. The rig out there in the Gulf had just gone down. Actually, I don't even know if it had gone down. It had just caught fire. Had it just sunk? Maybe that day, the day before, something along there, Tony says. And, of course, nobody knew what to think of it at the time. We had just lost 11 workers on that rig. I had David Roberts from Grist on to talk about it and the solution to all of this nightmare, which is legislation for clean, renewable energy. Is it that hard to figure this out, people? That's the solution. Anyway, he was scheduled to come on to talk about climate legislation, climate and energy legislation, and the rig just happened to blow. It maybe had just sunk a few hours beforehand. Nobody knew what we were looking at. Nobody knew how bad it was going to get, although I sure had a feeling. I think very few people were actually talking about it, had actually even heard of the damn thing yet. Well, they've heard of it now, and Mac McClellan from Mother Jones has been down there on the ground, on the beaches, in the marshes, in the helicopters, on the kayaks. She was one of the first to start reporting on the media being kept out of the beaches, kept out of the spill sites. And not just BP keeping them out either, but actually federal officials and local officials. She was sounding the alarm on that. We're going to talk to her about that because it continues and it even gets worse in many ways. She's going to be joining us in a bit. We will take your calls throughout the night, if I can fit them in, at 877. This is a new number, not the regular Malloy number, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150 for this week only. You are going to need that number, so write it down, because these are, as I like to say, your airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you have already. Yeah. And and by the way, you know, I know that Malloy doesn't like to have the right-wingers calling in. He hates them. I can hardly blame him. But when I'm here, when I'm on the mic, we take all callers, and we would love to hear from you throughout the night. Even if you disagree with me, give us a call, 877-520-1150. First, though, I want to, I hope you all had a good 4th of July. I hope you have as many fingers and eyeballs tonight as you did before the weekend started. I got to tell you, I'm kind of in a malaise. It's the summer. I'm hoping you guys can cheer me up before this week is over. But it's, 4th of July used to be my favorite holiday, my absolute favorite holiday, hands down. Now, you know what? Not so much. It's kind of, we went out to the fireworks out in Culver City last night. Enjoyed them. Beautiful fireworks, nice crowd, everything else. But I'll tell you what, it's the last couple of years I've gone out to the fireworks, and we always try to go every year to a different place, different city, different state, to these public fireworks gatherings. They're always fun. Everybody loves the fireworks. But you know what's been missing the last couple of years? Pride. Patriotism. Love of country. Why? Because not a lot to be proud of anymore, is there? Not a lot to be patriotic about, in truth. During the Bush years, it was, oddly enough, I never felt more patriotic than during the presidency of George W. Bush, when it felt like there was a great country here that needed to be saved from this deranged madman. And he was deranged. But now that he's gone, we find out, well, you know what? He's not really gone, is he? You've got folks who have burrowed into various federal agencies. But worse than that, you've got a Barack Obama administration, which it seems as if they are the Bush administration in so many ways. The things that they're doing, you know, hopefully we'll talk about this later in the show. There's a guy out in D.C. who's going on trial. Actually, he's being sentenced tomorrow for having the temerity to unfurl a banner inside the U.S. Senate which said, "Green jobs now." This man is facing 3 years for unfurling a banner. And he's being prosecuted by who? Not the Bush administration. No, this is the Obama administration in America, in my America. Are you kidding me? No. That's what we're facing. And so there's a lot of malaise. So it's your job. All you got to do is cheer me up. How hard could that be? Stop by the chat room at bradblog.com. We've got the item opened at the very top of the blog. Click on through to the live chat room where your lovely hostesses tonight will be Jeannie Dean and Desi. Desi will be also probably joining us here on the air. Throughout the night, every now and again, she'll also be screening your calls at 877-520-1150. And I want to talk about, the heat wave. You know what? Here's a call. Jane is calling in. Let me take a quick call. Maybe Jane can cheer me up. I wasn't going to take a call here this segment. I was going to get right to Mac McClelland in the next segment and talk about the heat wave on the East Coast. But let me see if Jane can cheer me up. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Malloy Show. Are you here to cheer me up?
Yes, absolutely. I love you, Brad, because you're on the voting fraud thing, and we got stuck with George Bush for 8 years, and now it looks like we're about to get stuck with Jeb, too. But what I'm calling about is I live across the street from Arneyville, which is the disabled people have been camping out there for 2 weeks. It's on Adeline Street.
Why?
They're protesting the cuts to their home health caregivers, which if they don't have, they'll either A, be institutionalized, or B, die in the streets. And if they are institutionalized, it will cost California taxpayers.
Jane, who's cutting the home health care?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
so that's
hence
the Arneyville.
Right. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And Jane, this was the part that was supposed to cheer me up.
Well, I drove by there there on the 4th of July in the evening, and they were sitting around. And these people are so inspirational. I mean,
really?
They're out there in their wheelchairs, and they are fighting for independence because, you know, they get institutionalized.
Right.
And their wheelchairs give them independence.
How can we help these people? I got to get to a break. How can anything we can do to help these people and
have
maybe they'll cheer me up?
Have people go by and bring them food and encourage
them. Where is this? This is in Berkeley, California?
It's in Berkeley on the corner of Adeline and Russell.
All right. Adeline and Russell on the corner. Disabled folks. Jane's got your back. We got your back.
Second.
Yeah.
Arnie and the legislatures in Sacramento to pass the freaking budget, cut out the corporate welfare, and keep the home care workers.
That'll happen. Well, at least the part about the home healthcare workers. Not so sure about the corporate interests. Thanks for the call, Jane. Appreciate it. Thanks for trying. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, see, that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling. Before we go to a break, and then we'll go down to the Gulf here. Well, will this cheer me up? Let's see. I posted my favorite tweets at Brad Blog, my favorite 4th of July tweets. One of them was kind of funny. This was from Rep, where is it here? Rep Jack Kimball. He said, there's a war going on between traditional America and those who would like to take Christ out of the 4th of July. Well, yeah, he's, by the way, he's not really a rep, but he's pretty damn funny. Check him out at Rep Jack Kimball over at Twitter. And, oh, yeah, over on Twitter, there you go. You can Twitter me this, at The Brad Blog over at Twitter. I will be keeping my eyes out there. You can Twitter us questions. You can call us. You can call in for Mac McClellan, who will be joining. The lovely Mac McClellan will be joining us shortly. And we may even, okay, I know. Yeah, I got to do. Oh, see, all this I have to remember. Every time I sat down, Tony says, yeah, you got to wait till the next minute. All right, I'll do that. Hey, there's a heat wave out in the Northeast. Now, you probably, if you're not in the Northeast, you may or may not have known about it. If you're a Fox News viewer, I suspect you didn't know about it at all because, well, they went on and on and on about the snowstorm that happened last, what was it, February or March? When it comes to the heat wave, they went on and on about it because, oh, it showed that there is no global warming. But now that we've got a record January, February, March, April, May, record high temperatures, and now a heat wave moving into the East Coast, what does the Fox report have to say about it? Yeah, nothing. Crickets. We'll have to get a sound effect. They don't want you to know that. All right. Well, anyway, listen to, can I get out now? No? Oh, I got to go around again. Well, if you had played the cricket sound effects for me, Tony, I wouldn't have had that problem. I know, you can't do everything, can you? All right. Mac McClellan joining us from Mother Jones down in the Gulf right after this. And your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy all damn week long. We'll figure out how to do this, and you'll figure out how to cheer me up. Much more, right, Tony? Right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy all week long. We're going to go down right now, down live to the Gulf to Mac McClellan. She is Mother Jones human rights reporter, if I can figure out how to use those phones. There we go. Mother Jones human rights reporter. She's the writer of the Rights Stuff blog over at Mother Jones. MotherJones.com, is that right? .org? Where do I? There we go, MotherJones.com. And she's also the author of For Us, Surrender is Out of the Question, a story from Burma's never-ending war. You can also follow her reporting at Twitter, as I have been for months, at Mac McClellan. Hey, Mac, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
How's it going, Brad?
Oh, it's going okay. I suspect it's probably going even less okay for you down there in the Gulf. And because I screwed up already, we're going to have a very short segment here, and I got to get to a break, 2 minutes, and then we'll come back and talk about the real meat of your reporting, which has been incredibly important. Thank you, Mac, for the coverage that you've been doing for 2 months down there. Let me, since we only have a tiny bit of time here before I got to get out, we'll have a big segment after the break. What were you planning to do this summer other than go down to the Gulf?
I didn't really
really have any plans, but I definitely didn't plan to be here for so long because I only have like 4 shirts, and I think it's going on 9 weeks now. So I wasn't really prepared, but I mean, you know, it's obviously the most important thing I could be doing right now, and it's the least that I can do to stay.
Well, it is, and I think you're also running out of pants from what I can tell from your twittering and your reporting. You tore a few, didn't you?
I'm officially out of pants.
You're out of pants.
I've been wearing pajamas for the last 2 days, and I really need to make some time.
Did you, so you weren't planning on going down to the Gulf, but why did you, in the few seconds we have here before the break, why did you decide to cover this story? You're usually on the human rights beat. What drew you down to this one?
Well, I was actually in New Orleans already covering a story about something else, totally unrelated, and I just happened to look at a map and see that there was this island that, you know, looked to me like oil was probably going to come its way, and I just happened to arrive about the same time that the oil did, but after like an hour after it got there, and then, you know, I've been here ever since, and I think that with, you know, all the implications of everybody's lives and lifestyles down here, this is still, I mean, it's not just an environmental disaster. It's a human rights disaster as well.
It sure is. And you've been covering that as well as the actual oil coming ashore, the broken lives that are beginning to emerge down there. Man. All right. Mac McClellan from Mother Jones. We're going to have a whole bunch of you straight ahead and your calls, 877-520-1150. She was the first one that I heard sounding the alarm on the press being kept away from this disaster. And I'm afraid they're still being kept away. We're going to talk about that and much more straight ahead. Brad Friedman in from Malloy with Mac McClellan. Much more after this.
Everybody talking about that burning hell. Ain't no heaven in it. Ain't no burning hell.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in with you live on July 5th. We're not like those slackers on the, boy, did you hear that? This morning, Rush Limbaugh is running a best of. You got Hartman running a best of. Stephanie in the studios. No, she's running a best of. Slackers. Not us here on the Malloy Show. So, Brad, in from Los Angeles for Malloy, speaking with Mac McClellan, who's down live in the Gulf in New Orleans. She has been covering this oil disaster and all that it means for Mother Jones, and her, I can't recommend her tweets enough, really. People are paying attention to those tweets, Mac. You can get her Mac McClelland on the Twitters. So, Mac, this new rule. You were the first one, by the way, that I heard about with officials keeping the media off the beaches, keeping them away from the oiled wildlife and so forth. We've got a new rule now over the weekend. All boats must stay 65 feet away from booms and boats. This after the Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen had said he was going to keep things as open as could possibly be. Is this going to affect even more so the work that you're trying to do down there?
Well, I would imagine, since they're saying that if you're caught doing what they're saying you can't do, it's a Class D felony and a $40,000 fine. So the Deepwater Response Joint Unified Area Command monster sent some emails out to press this weekend saying that they would check out the cases on a case-by-case basis if you did get in trouble. But, yeah, I mean, if you were – that boom is all over the place, so it could not only keep you away from some of the shores or from some of the passes, but you might not even be able to get around some of the islands because you would have to go through – I mean, when I was kayaking around in southeastern Louisiana, I had to go over boom to do it. And right now, that's now illegal, apparently.
This is any boom out there, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of miles of this stuff. Any boom or any boat working on the thing is restricted, 35 feet?
I mean, that appears to be, I mean, they didn't say any, you know, any specific kind of boom or anything, mm-hmm. So apparently it's a blanket rule.
Now, you were kept out of a lot of these places. You've had to take to extraordinary means to try to cover this story. I was going to mention your kayaking was one of them. I know you've been up in helicopters, and you've been, so kayaking, this is the way you had to cover this, or did you come up with this idea? Was there no other way to get out to some of these islands and marshes?
Well, I don't have a boat of my own, mm-hmm. personally.
Right.
So it wasn't as if I could, you know, just take my yacht over to one of these islands. And if I wanted to go with, you know, officially, then I would have to take an escort. If you go through BP, which you have to do to get to some of the islands, because either they're inaccessible by land, or if they are accessible by land, they're blocked by police checkpoints. It was basically, you know, it was swim or try to find another way.
Well, this I don't understand, Mac. Why do you have to go to BP to get to public lands? Why, at the very least, if they're restricted, why can't you go to the Coast Guard? Why isn't the Coast Guard helping the media tell this story?
Yeah, I actually got called by the Coast Guard when I first started reporting that I couldn't get around on Twitter. The Coast Guard is actually monitoring reporters who are using Twitter and the Internet to talk about the problems that they're having, and they have an outreach program for it. And so the Coast Guard actually called me, and they said, you know, we don't know why you're having that problem. That does sound like a big problem. We'll call you back. And they never did. So, you know, even though everyone down here says that it's a combination of, you know, command between the Coast Guard, who is working with the local authorities and is working with BP, but if you ask the sheriff's deputies that are blocking the beaches, they'll say, you know, we're just doing our job, and BP told us to do this.
Yeah, this is absolutely incredible to me. And are you beginning to get some of this stuff on video? Because, you know, in reading your tweets and saying, you know, hearing you talk, Mac McClellan, about officials, and we're talking about, you know, police officials, not BP officials, but government officials, whether they're federal or state, they're saying to you, no, you can't come on this beach because BP says so. And I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, how is there not an outrage about this? The only thing I could think is, well, because we don't have video. I mean, do you have a video camera with you to get these guys on tape and plaster it all the hell over YouTube to let everyone know what's going on here?
I do occasionally. There is that, I do occasionally carry a camera with me. There is that CBS video, mm-hmm. you know, where the CBS camera people were told by the Coast Guard that, according to BP, they had to leave. So that was a really good one. There's a local reporter down here who was with the whole camera crew who was told that he was not allowed to talk to anybody on this beach, and there's these private security contractors who are telling him that he has to leave, because BP says so. There are some videos about it, and the ACLU just last week released a statement saying to the sheriff's departments, basically, what you're doing is totally illegal. You cannot tell these people that they have to leave public land. You certainly can't tell them that they have to leave public land because a private corporation told you to. But so far, you know, I don't know that anybody's seen any change in the behavior.
So it's not getting better all of these weeks you've been reporting this? Nobody has come in. The Coast Guard hasn't come in. Federal officials haven't come in and said, look, this has got to stop. Let Mac McClellan in.
Down and ordered everyone to personally let me in.
Well, you know what? They should. They contacted you. They said this seems outrageous.
Well, it doesn't appear. I mean, you keep hearing Thad Allen and the administration and all these people saying, it's fine now, it's fine now, it's fine now. You know, BP tweeted, they have a Twitter account also, and they tweeted the other day that press restrictions were an urban myth. And so all these people are saying all this stuff, but there's no change. I mean, it's not getting any easier. If anything, it seems like it might actually be getting worse, because now there are private security contractors involved. Some of the cleanup workers, you know, they have been threatened with being fired if they talk to anyone. Some of them are in charge of – I mean, I've been turned away by cleanup workers who were like, you can't come through here, to a public marina. They were like, we were told that you can't come through here. And I was like, oh, but I'm press. And they said the press is allowed through. And they were like, no, that's not what we heard. So – I mean, whatever people want to say on TV, nobody is telling the people who actually work here.
I got to say, this is absolutely amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing that it hasn't gotten any better. And as you've been reporting, and you covered this ACLU story, but we've got incidents down there where the parish police are working in their off hours for BP.
Correct? That's correct.
And not just, you know, one or two, but you've got, let's see, one of 40 in the parish who are working, this is at the Terrebonne Parish Sheriff's Office, told me that the deputy who pulled over Whelan, he's an environmental activist down there, is just over one of 40 in the parish who are working for BP on their own time. Another one in nearby LaFourche Parish, for example, sheriff's office is filling 57 security positions a week for BP. The shifts are on the clock, and BP reimburses the sheriff's office for them. So if you needed to complain about BP, you would go to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff would be working for BP, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, there are a lot of them are working. I mean, they're moonlighting, you know, and in this particular case, they happen to be moonlighting for BP. And then in other cases, as you said, the sheriff's departments are actually running the shifts on the clock, and then they're being reimbursed. And this was something that, you know, the ACLU called me at some point to get sort of when they were releasing this letter, because they wanted to get a rundown of some information. And they were saying, you know, that's totally legal. There's nothing that anybody can say about that or do about that. I mean, they have the right to hire as many sheriffs as they want. And, you know, it's a conflict of interest and it's alarming, but
yeah,
it's not actually against the law. So there's really nothing anybody can do about it.
I mean, yeah, this seems to me to be an extraordinary conflict of interest. And, you know, we're going to be covering tomorrow night. We're going to be talking a little bit about Judge Feldman. Speaking of conflict of interest, the judge who overturned this moratorium. So BP is running the place down there. And it seems to me, at least if I'm reading your reporting, Mac McClellan, correctly, where's the Coast Guard? Where is the Obama administration? Are they performing as poorly as it feels like they are from afar up here?
I actually just had a conversation with someone. I never see anybody from the Coast Guard personally, and the only time I see the National Guard is either in bars. I understand that they are, some of them are working, but only a tenth of them that have been deployed are actually doing anything. The rest of them are waiting for orders, apparently. So they do a lot of security where they basically tell you you can't go places, and that's all that I've seen them do so far. Coast Guard, I haven't run into anybody yet at all. I actually talked to someone at the Maine New Orleans command here,
right,
who's in the Coast Guard, and she said, if you could come to this office and if you could see how hard everybody here is working, you would understand. You would understand. And I was like, you know what? I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see that. I am not opposed to the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to believe that the Coast Guard is there doing a lot of work and being really effective. You know, can you get me in? She was like, well, I don't know. So it hasn't, I haven't actually been able to witness any of this amazing Coast Guard action yet.
But they told you it was amazing, so that's good enough. Yeah, they put out a statement about how, concerning these new restrictions, and they say the results of this openness speak for themselves. Federal officials have conducted hundreds of daily press briefings and conference calls, conducted thousands of interviews, posted thousands of documents and images of not only this historic response, but also the tragic impacts of this continuing oil leak, yada, 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 yada. They keep telling us how open they are, but that doesn't seem to be the case whenever you talk to anybody who's down there. Going to take a quick break and come back to your calls for Mac McClellan of Mother Jones, 877-520-1150 if you want to get in. But Mac, very quickly before we go to break here, is the I don't know if you get to watch any of the media response. I know it's hard to watch the coverage when you're right in the middle of it. But do you feel that the story of what is going on down there is getting out to the rest of the country and the world?
You know, down here, it's a big story. Down here in the newspaper, it takes up the first couple pages every day, of course. But
right.
So it's hard for me to say from here, but people from other cities and other states have been telling me that it's not. I mean, I can't, you know, I've been saying the same thing for like 9 weeks. I can't believe there's anybody, and not just me, ABC, you know, Anderson Cooper, everybody's saying the same thing. I can't believe everybody doesn't know by now.
Well, we know, but I wonder if we appreciate just how bad it is, how long this is going to go on, and how unbelievably impossible it seems like this situation is, and you know, how many years we're talking about the disaster that we're looking at. I don't think that anybody out here appreciates it, and I don't even know if folks down there truly appreciate it, because we really still don't know how bad it is, do we?
Well, down here, there certainly is no lack of appreciation for the scope of the disaster. I mean, if I could go one whole week without talking to someone who starts sobbing or having a nervous breakdown myself, that would be a real banner week for me. So if you see it, and you can smell it everywhere down here, and between the people who are freaking out and the fumes and the visuals, I mean, down here, it's completely inescapable.
Maybe we need smell-o-vision. Maybe that will help us understand just how bad it really is. All right, we're speaking with Mac McClellan. One more segment with her. Really appreciate you hanging out here with us tonight, Mac. Coming back off your holidays, such as they are. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your call's coming up, 877-520-1150. For Mac McClellan of Other Jones, next hour, Don Siegelman from Alabama. And I was supposed to cheer myself up tonight. How's that going for you, Brad? All right, 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Check out the chat room at bradblog.com. I'll try to check it out during the break. Much more right after this. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Malloy, drafted into duty tonight, being radio guy, and all this week. We're speaking for the last few minutes here with Mac McClellan of Mother Jones, down live in the Gulf. Are you actually in New Orleans? Let me get her back on. There we go. Are you actually in New Orleans down there, Mac?
I am right now, yeah.
You're going to be, and you've got no plans to leave for a while, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I don't. I'm on a one-way ticket.
Okay. I'm sorry, but thank you. Let me grab some calls here in our few remaining minutes with you. 877-520-1150. We're joined by Henry in Baton Rouge, unless that's Henri. Hey, welcome to the show, Henry.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Mike. Good afternoon, Mr. Brad. This is Henry down here in Baton Rouge, and it's an honor to be speaking to our Joan of Arc, because I believe that Mac is the one source of factual information that we have down here. Unfortunately, she doesn't have her own TV station, but nonetheless, we appreciate it. I have one concern that back in the old civil rights days, Dr. King had the philosophy of filling up the jails. Now, I certainly wouldn't want to see Miss Mac locked up, but how long before one of these reporters calls those people's bluff and goes onto that public property and gets himself thrown in jail, and this comes to a head? And also, I wish you'd address the non-utilization of the National Guard troops that President Obama has authorized.
Let's hit those at a time. Mac, you can hang on, Henry. Henry wants you to go to jail.
I hear that. I think that they're going to continue to stop short of actually arresting reporters, is my sense. I mean, that would be such unbelievably bad press, even the way that this is being run at this point. I can't believe they would be that stupid.
They would go that far? Okay.
I would be surprised.
And what about the use or the lack thereof of the National Guard that has been cleared? You hear these governors down there, Bobby Jindal and Haley Barbour, huffing and puffing about the lousy federal response. They've been given clearance to use National Guardsmen. Are they doing so yet?
No, they're not. They're not. Tim Dickinson over at Rolling Stone actually has been doing some great reporting about this, crunching the numbers. And in Louisiana, 91% of those guardsmen are just hanging around and not doing anything. So for as much noise as Bobby Jindal wants to make about this being all the Obama administration's fault and they're not doing enough, you know, it looks like, you know, who's not doing enough now?
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Henry. Let me get in David before I have to go to a break. David, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
I love you. The networks have all but stopped showing the live feed of the blowout preventers, especially during the last couple of weeks, you know, showing the oil gushing out in real time. And the second point is, do you think you can address the South Carolina dement senatorial campaign sabotaging of the primaries?
We're going to have Vic Rawl on. He was the one who got knocked out of that. He's going to be with us on the air tomorrow night, David. Thanks.
Wow.
So we're going to have a lot of that this week. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Well, Mac, your response to the I've
to
lost
the primary?
To the networks cutting off that. I don't think they have they? Have they cut off the live feed to that Gusher cam?
I usually check in with it on the internet. To be honest, I have been watching a ton of network coverage down here, so you know, y'all would be a better judge of what they're showing as far as that. I mean, you can't ever really see anything in it; it always looks the same. For all I know, they've been showing the same loop feed of it for 9 weeks. You know,
Mac McClellan of Mother Jones. I know it stinks, but I really, really hope you'll stick with it. What you're doing there is really important. There are people out here. Yes, we are watching your tweets, Mac.
Well, thanks.
Thanks. I suspect we'll be checking in with you again soon, maybe even this week. Mac McClellan, check out MotherJones.com. Right back with much more after this.